So today, we're going to keep on with meditation. We did the first couple weeks. Thursday night at our Bible study, cell group gathering, we were still chewing over a couple of different things. And Julie dropped a verse into the mix. It's one I've preached before, but I haven't touched on it lately. So I'm gonna go back there just because it really helps sum up the whole process of what meditation is and why we do it and what it's for. So we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 4, looking at verses 12 through 16. My focus will be probably 15, 16, but context is critical. If you don't keep it in context, it makes it seem a little bit different. Because of our sound system glitch, no projector, we're going to go old school. It'll come back. I'm sure it hasn't gone away forever. We just got to figure out what's wrong with it. So I'll read it to you out of the New King James. If you have your Bibles, please turn there and we'll do this. I'm going to actually start in verse 11 because verse 11 is... It's like a one sentence in your face. It just says, these things command and teach. And then it lists a bunch of stuff between 14, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. The critical stuff is kind of littered throughout it. I'm not going to preach it all, but I have to keep it in context because I'm going to spend a lot of time on these things this morning. That's a phrase in verse 15. These things. These things. These things is also found in 11. Command and teach. Let no one despise your youth. Remember this one, right? And be an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attention to the reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is given to you by the prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things, again, these things. Give yourself entirely to them. Wow. That your progress may be evident by all. Take heed to yourself and to doctrine and continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourselves and those who hear you. I cannot, in a brief amount of time, delve into all of this. I mean, there is so much in there. Our focus is really this concept and construct of meditation, but it's what we're supposed to be meditating on is the issue, number one. But number two, they're theologically, when you keep in mind the entirety of what's in these sets of verses, it's a plan for life. I mean, I don't care what else is going on in your life. And we had this little conversation on Thursday night. It didn't last very long, but, it was part of the overall conversation. And I was talking to the group about, how modernization of life has, every time you turn around, and I don't care what it is, you can go way back or whatever, but every time you turn around, somebody invents something to be a time saver. We can do this from 18 directions. You stand in your kitchen and chop your onions, and then somebody come along and made a blender. Or a dicer. Why? Well, it's a dirty business and blah, blah, blah. But somebody wanted to save some time. Somebody didn't want to smell. Somebody didn't want to. So necessity is the mother invention. And the reason that that works is because every time somebody invents something, it's supposed to, quote, unquote, save us time. And in my head, I threw this out on Thursday night. I said, what's this got to do with this text? Stay with me. In my head, I said, well, We didn't have these things for a long time. We got through our days without these things. Somehow. We did. We didn't play with them. We didn't have games on them. We didn't Facebook them. We didn't. All of a sudden, and I asked the group on Thursday night, do you guys even know that on your phones you have a log of how many hours you spend on your phone a week? Do you know? You can actually set it up that it will show you on your notifications every morning how much time you spend on your phone. In a time of life where we're quote-unquote saving, we tend to trade what we do. You know, I used to, you know, we could all do this, whatever we used to do. You know, how many hours of TV you watch a week? How many, you know, how much activity do you do with sports and recreation or hunting or fishing? You know, we have all this quote-unquote time. And we trade one activity for another. All the time. Because I had to give up that, so now I'm doing this. And in the middle of all this, you've got this set of verses that literally tells us we're supposed to be thinking, spending time, dwelling, applying, producing, having. And in the middle of it, you know, the church, instead of getting stronger spiritually, is at times barely treading water, but most of the time getting weaker. And I'm talking about the church universal. And it can be said even in-house. I mean, when the scripture in this verse tells us that we're supposed to da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, and I don't care, you can read the passage yourself again. That we're supposed to give ourselves wholly, completely to these things. And I know it's not popular. People don't like to, you know, spend time and think about it. You know, but when you look at the list of things that are appearing in verse 12 and 13 and 14, it's pretty clear that God has a succinct plan for developing us in a mold and in a shape that will reflect Himself. He is trying to make it happen. And in this context, there is everything from our mundane time of sitting in a chair and not just prayer but reading and doctrine but it's deeper than that because he includes the development of the spiritual side of our life as well. I mean, I found it interesting in the 12th verse that we're supposed to be an example to people in words, in conduct, in love, in spirit. What does it mean to be a conduct in spirit? I mean, if we are a group of people who don't believe that the Holy Spirit exists and that gifts are a part of life, how do you answer that question? You don't. You skip over it. It's just easier to not think about it. But when the scripture says, give yourself wholly to it, and then it goes on to enunciate the gifts that were given to you by the elders in the laying on of hands. Now we have a problem. Because if the church is going to be powerless and it's not going to manifest the evidence of the Spirit as God intended the church to, which Jesus did, the disciples did, and then in generations since there's been flashes of it, but it just doesn't stick. And I think you find the roots of it right here in 12 through 16. Hello? I mean, I know in my life, you know, I get done after a day like yesterday. You can stick a fork in me spiritually. I get up in the morning. I got up this morning and I was dead empty. I mean, I was thinking, man, I got another day. I got to get in that pulpit and I got to produce. And it isn't I just get to get up here and teach you a nice lesson about love, grace, and mercy. I have to give you something that you aren't going to get anywhere else. I have to hear from the man upstairs and somehow or another relate that to a workable doctrine that you can take from here and apply to life and be a better example of these verses. I can't just give you a Greek lesson or a history lesson about what the Jewish people used to do. I mean, I can, and it fills a void, but it does not stimulate the inner side of you that God is wanting you to demonstrate to others. Without the infilling, without the meditation, without the scripture, without the revelation of the Spirit in you, without the giftedness that is waiting to be birthed, the culture is sitting back. And I quote this to you all the time. It's been months since I've did it. But the culture is waiting for the sons of daughters of God to be revealed. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's what this verse is talking about. The culture is waiting to see God being birthed in you. And it's all right here in this set of four verses. If there was one thing I've read in the last 6-8 months, that if I was going to say, if there was nothing else you take from this, from the last 6 months of preaching, it's these four verses. This is the recipe that God intended the church to live out. It's all right here. It's summed up in four verses. Everything is there. Our focus, who it's going to impact, how we're supposed to do it, and it saves not only us, but it saves them. It's all right there. See, we are so busy with the stuff that we do and the things that fill our time and the things that we dwell on in our mind and heart that is so much a part of us and not enough a part of Him. So that when we get to those critical junctures with family members, with neighbors, with people at work, and they're ready to hear something from God, there isn't anything in here to give them. We'll give them a scripture because it rolls off our tongue. We'll tell them we'll pray with them sometimes. But will we give them a word of prophecy? We give them a word of knowledge that'll shake them to their core? Will we give them a word of vision and direction that will change their life? Will we speak edification into them about how to be better and how to grow and how to develop instead of languishing and having, you know, the same struggles over and over? I said this last week, and I'm going to say it again. The answer to the problems of life doesn't come out of our mess and out of our problems. It comes out of the Spirit within us. The God of heaven will give us the answers to give to the culture to fix their problems. The promise is in 16. But when you don't have it in you, you can't give it out. If you can't hear God bring revelation, to bring a prophetic word, to bring a word of knowledge or wisdom, if it isn't in here on a regular basis, you can't disseminate it. It's not possible. I know I'm getting a little worked up. But this whole idea of how God intended the church to work and to manifest and to develop and to become is sandwiched in these little verses. You want to know what God wants from you? Read these verses. Now, doing it is another problem. Because, you know, and we can talk about this from 8 different directions. You know, if I struggle with self-worth and bitterness, oh, God will never use me. You know, I'm the lowest of the low. Or we'll go on the other side, we got a God complex, you know, my life is great and I'm going to fix everybody. They're just waiting to hear what I got to say. Not. The idea of the source to me is the central part of these verses. All of it from top to bottom is pointing us to the source. Meditate, think, give yourself wholly to these things. You know, I hate to say it this way, but I'm gonna say it in the negative. What are these things that we give ourselves to that aren't listed here? What are these things that we would apply to this list? Because they're part of what we do. They're part of where we are. They're part of our daily experience. I mean, I'll pick on some folk. You know, I grew up, man, every day, my mom, man, I'll tell you, it didn't matter, rain or shine, what was going on. General Hospital. Anybody remember that? I don't care what was going on in the world. Everything came to a stop. 2 o'clock. And then it was like one life to live. 1 o'clock days of our lives. And I'm thinking, I get it, is a you know, mom, you stay at home mom, she's got 4 kids and a husband, and you know, she needs a little drama, she needs a little something in her. I mean, as an adult, I can understand it. As a teenager, I couldn't get my head around it. I'd sit and I'd listen to that for a little bit. It's like, are you kidding me? You watch this every day? I'm going outside. There's got to be something to do. I mean, I ain't doing this. I mean, people get sucked into stuff. And then it becomes habit. And then it becomes routine. And then it becomes, how do I break the habit for something better? Sometimes we never ask that question. We just stay right in that rut. These things, it's a pretty narrow list of what God wants us to focus on. You know, I sat in the office this morning for a couple minutes, and I was kind of chewing, am I going to preach this? Am I not going to preach it? Really wasn't feeling it. Wasn't really excited about it, you know. But the more I kept thinking about this concept of giving yourself wholly to it, I did the Greek on it. You really don't want to know it. I mean, it's this entire, I mean, the words are all about entirely and completely and fervently, that we are supposed to dive in, you know, and I'm going to use a phrase, you know, it comes right out of my upbringing, but like a hobo on a ham sandwich. There was a couple of people that got that. You know, we are supposed to give ourselves to this stuff with a zeal and with a completeness, with an entirety. That word holy is not holy as in holy is the Lord. That is W-H-O, meaning completely, top to bottom, 100% in. Not, oh, I'll play with it a couple of days a week. I'll read a few verses. I'll listen to a verse or two, and you know, maybe I'll do some prayer time, and I'll keep some worship music going on in the back. That's not someone who's dedicated. I mean, you need to fill in the blank of what it means to be dedicated. I mean, I can tell you my story, you know, and I can tell you some of your stories. I mean, for you workaholics out there, the same effort you put into, you know, finding value and earning a paycheck, you need to check that up. You need to find the same drive to do these things. The same drive to do these things. Give yourself wholly to them. That doesn't mean part-time. That doesn't mean here and there. That doesn't mean once a day. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, lately, I don't know, maybe it's my wife's influence on me, but last several weeks, I mean, I'm just listening to worship, specific worship music. And I wake up hearing it. You know, I'm up at the property, I'm working on stuff. I got my phone in my pocket with my music thing playing. And I'm, you know, thank goodness, you know, there's no animals around because I scare them away. Because sometimes I even sing out loud. And it's like, what a difference that makes. I mean, I've always been listening to something. I always have something. But waking up with music in my head, that's part of this holy thing, W-H-O. It's focusing on God in between our ears, even when we would normally be daydreaming or meditating on, you know, the price of tea in China or our next conquest on Facebook as far as what we're going to buy on Marketplace or whatever. I mean, we got a lot of stuff that fills our time. And at some level, God you know, gave us this list of verses as a check to our propensities to wander away, and he keeps trying to bring us back. Bring yourself or give yourself wholly or entirely, some of your versions say. The next thing that I wanted to touch on quickly is that word prophet. I had to take some time with that. Julie, we talked it on a Thursday night quite a bit, and Julie was doing her little thing back and forth. You know, the guys that were here, you know what I mean. She had to sit over there because she had some things to do for the funeral service. She was texting people and meal preparation. But every time we hit a certain topic, she comes streaming over to the table, and then she went back, and then she come over to the table. We got to profiting, she come over to the table. Profiting is one of these words that I don't want you to take it off the cuff, whatever it is you might think profiting is. Because it's really easy, you know, and I said it Thursday night, it's really to get into this place. There are some people that go, well, that's that prosperity preaching stuff. Nope. You're not reading the text right. It doesn't say he's going to reward you with financial riches. That's not in the text. That's an adding to these things. That by this you will profit. You have to go back to what you're going to profit from. Everything that's above. Your spiritual gifting, what you're dwelling, your reading, your meditation, your, you know, back up there in verse 12 where it talked about conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. That's what you're going to profit from. The more your life reflects the values that you've meditated on and that you are applying and you're giving yourself wholly to, God is going to bring a abundance or a benefit. How do we do that, church? I know it's easy to go from bottom to top and skip the middle, but that middle part is the key component. The gift that God has given you that we are supposed to develop along with the rest of this stuff is the vehicle by which God will make it known. You know, I can live a great life of conduct, but if I never rub shoulder to shoulder with somebody else and they see that integrity, as we talked about yesterday with Bob, or we see that virtue, or we see that spirit, or we see that love, then how are they ever going to know it? We have to get into contact with people. It's required. And you want to know why it's required? Because when they see the before, us without all of this, and many of us in our families and in our lives know this, and then we start walking this walk with Christ, and he begins to round our rough corners, and he begins to speak things into our life and into our mind that have benefit for people around us, and whether it's in exhortation or wisdom or knowledge, it begins to flow out of us. Those same people who knew you before have now got to think about what they're looking at. Because you're not the same person that was here 5 years ago, 7 years ago, 10 years ago. The God in you that you've meditated on, your conduct, love, all the things that are in the verses, the readings, the doctrines, the developing of your gifting, as you climb that ladder and you absorb more and more of it, it becomes a part and it just exudes out of us. Especially when you're in these crisis moments where the culture is dying for relief, for vision, for hope. And we tap into the spirit that's within us and outpours all the lessons that we've learned through meditation and prayer and waiting and hearing. And maybe even a little inspiration of the spirit. Hopefully a lot of inspiration of the spirit. This, I mean, and it's summed up in the last verse where it says, not only will you save yourself, but you'll save those who hear you. I could have preached this one all day. This is, I keep telling you, church, this Bible is conditional. God will promise, but we have to. God will give you a lead, but we have to. God will set something in motion, but we have to. If we don't do these things, we can live our whole life and the people around us will never find Christ. We'll be in the church. We'll know some stuff. We might even do some stuff. But at those critical moments when they are at that decision point where they need to hear something that is going to turn them around, shake them up, spin them around, do something that's going to grab their attention, if we don't have it in us, we can't give it. They're at their most critical point in need and we don't have it for them. That should scare us a lot. We keep wondering, you know, that scripture, and I'm not throwing stones, but it's that scripture where, you know, it talks about men and women and divorce, and you know, it says that the believer can't leave the unbeliever, and then the promise is given, for by the believer, the unbeliever may find salvation, may be saved. That's a horrible construct. But that's a fruitfulness of this set of passages. That if the believer is walking wholly with Christ and meditating on the things we're supposed to, and we are developing the God voice inside of us and the gifts that God intended us to have, that through the course of time, our witness is going to draw them in. And there's a lot of us that go, I don't want to do it. I just don't want to do it. I get it. It's tough. They didn't say I wanted to do it either. It has nothing to do with whether you want to do it. It has to do with what God intended it to look like. And that's the problem. There's so much in this Bible that God has set in motion as part of a plan. And if we don't decide to get on board to do it, it will never come to pass. And that includes the people that are in our life that we want to find eternity. And if we don't find a way to show them the kingdom on this side of death, there's a good chance they'll never find it. You know, we all know the stories. We all know the songs. You know, you're the only God that some people see. I mean, you ever heard that cliche? You know, Esther's line, he was born for a moment like this. There's many of us come to that moment in people's lives around us, loved ones, family members. We know they're on the life is a huge mess. Everything's all tore up, and they're on the verge of making a decision, and we don't have a clue how to help them. We get all wrapped up in their mess instead of going, all right, Lord, you take a step back from their drama. What would you have me say into their life? I don't have to be a therapist. I don't have to be a doctor. I don't have to have a PhD. All I need to know is the voice of God and hone my gifting and meditate on and become and dwell and have. Jesus changed the world with 12 people that had no college education. Most of them didn't even have high school. Give yourself entirely to them. These things. What are these things? I would pray, church. I'm going to stop yelling at you. I would pray, church, that whatever your these things are would soon disappear to his things. That the more we apply his things to us, the more use we are in the kingdom, the more use we are to those who need him, and the better we're going to understand our calling and purpose in ministry. Did you get that? Our calling and purpose. Everybody thinks it's going to be whatever it is. We're going to go to Africa, we're going to save the world. Nope. Sometimes you just got to save your neighbor. Sometimes it's your kids. Sometimes it's your spouse. It isn't something way beyond and out there and big thing and what's God going to do. It's so simple. Meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to them. Do not neglect the gifts that were given you, that you will profit with all. That's the King James Version. You'll profit everyone. Some of the greatest preachers in the world have never went to college. They've never had a class on hermeneutics. There's a big word for you. You know what hermeneutics is? It's the study of the word. Hermeneutics. Nice big 50-cent word. Some of the greatest preachers can dig into that and get more out of it in 5 minutes than a college professor can in 40 years. It's because of that meditation. It's because of that giving yourself wholly to it. It's because of the time we spend in the presence of the Father. He fills us with things that we then give to others in appropriate measure so that they can then receive and grow as well. Got to get over all this, whatever this other stuff is. These things are the keys to life. These things are the keys to spiritual development. These things are the keys to finding purpose and worth and value. These things. Sandwiched in four verses. I didn't say it was easy. There's habits that have to be broken. There's new habits that need to be formed. There's skill sets that have to be developed. I mean, if you're going to develop a prophetic voice, I mean, I think about Elisha and Elijah, and I think, wow, 12 years. 12 years of sitting with somebody who, you know, called fire down from heaven. I wonder what he's got to share. 12 years of walking in a guy's shadow and all the lessons that were learned. I think Elijah's the one that raised the axe head out of the water. I'm thinking, how do you do that? He did. You think, how inconsequential? Not to the guy that lost the axe head. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I'm a woodsman in the pre, you know, whatever era, 2000 BC, before Christ, whatever, and I go to work, I got one tool. I don't have a chainsaw. I don't have a set of chains and grappling hooks. I don't have a cant hook. I got an axe. And I got to get this cut down. Got to get it taken into town. I got to get it cut up so that people can buy it from me so I can feed my family. When I lose my axe head, it's a problem. And Elijah just said, oh, I'll get that for you. Wow. I believe the same God exists today. I believe the same power exists. But I believe that we don't spend enough time doing these things so that we can access what God intended for us to access. 12 years. Can you imagine spending 12 years following Elijah around? But my goodness, what a difference it made. He got double the anointing when he received the mantle. Double. And he carried on a ministry many, 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 many years on the back end of Elijah's going away. I don't believe God quit. I believe when he gave the power to the disciples, it was a new era. A new set of precedents for the church. A new example that not only can God and these fabled men of old do these things, but then he said, greater works than these shall you do. These things are the keys to coming and developing and profiting and saving not only ourselves, but those that hear us. That is such a powerful phrase. There's a lot of people in your life that will not hear you. They'll hear you when you're talking things that don't matter. But when you get a prophetic word, you get a word of knowledge, you get a word of wisdom, you get a word of encouragement that has any amount of God anointing on it, they will shut you down like they're turning the TV off. It's just gone. Boom. They're still there, but they're not listening. They can sense it, and they're not receiving it. And there's a whole sermon in this. Knowing who to speak into and when to speak into and how to speak into. There's a skill set to develop. It comes out of these things. Heavenly Father, God, as we close today, you are the great God, and you have existed immortally from now and forever. Lord, your word is clear if we'll take time to hear it. Your promises are steadfast if we will remember them and recount them and believe them. Your track record has never failed. God, help us to be people who take in the challenge to develop these things, to meditate and to think and to give ourselves wholly and completely to, so that we can profit not just ourselves, but those who will hear us. God, we need more of you manifesting through us. Because in and of ourselves, we are weak. We get frustrated. We get angry. We get sidetracked. We get confused. But Lord, there is a certainty about the ministry of the Spirit. And when you drop a word into us, that clarity, that resonation inside of us. I mean, I just keep thinking, you know, this last few weeks we've had a flow of these words that have become known in the church, whether it's Dugan's word for Joel or you know, just there's been so many that are a part of herding us back into this place where we're spending right time with our mind rightly fixed on the things that are about developing who you are in us. You want us to be kings and queens. You want us to be skillful at not only the word, but operating in what in who you've called us to be. Continue, Lord, to remind us. Continue, Lord, to put the pressure on us to develop and to become, not just for ourselves, but for anyone who hears us. Help our lists of things be changed to yours.
Just want to remind you, we're going to do a couple things this morning quick. Just want to remind you of the word that Apostle gave us last week. You know, he doesn't come up with prophetic stuff very often, so when he does, we need to pay attention. I'm just going to read it to you. The days of want are coming to an end. God says the days of provision are coming, as the unexpected provisions are going to be common amongst God's people. You heard him say today, it's conditional. The Father, our Father, our Heavenly Father, wants to pour out on his children. And it's, and like you said, it's not prosperity, but part of being his child is having access to what he has and what he wants to pour into us. And these verses are key. And I just listed everything when it's meditate upon these things. This is what it says, really. Don't focus on your age. That's in there. Don't focus on your age. Age has nothing to do with it. Be an example to believers. Read. Exhort. And that's encourage with a, you can do this. Yeah, it's encouragement on steroids is exhortation. Doctrine, what you believe and why. Gifting. Stir. Get around people who can stir your gifting. Friday night, these prayer sessions, we pour in, we encourage, we speak into life. We use gifting. Those are the things that we have to meditate on. So, I want you to, this week, and really, truly, eliminate one thing that eats up your time. Really spend time with this and think about it. Eliminate one thing in your life that eats up time, that takes things away from meditating on these things. Get rid of it. I had an app. I did this a week ago. 10 days ago, something like that. I had this app on my phone because work has been so crazy that I just needed, like, in between students, I just needed some downtime, something that wasn't education-driven, that I could just play and have fun. And I realized that on this app that I love doing, there's kind of a, not really a game, but kind of a game, kind of a decorating kind of thing, like I could just use some of my creativity. I realized that I was doing that even in between, like even outside of, and I said to myself, you know, thinking about this meditation, I got to get rid of this. I got to get rid of it. So I took it right off my phone. I'm telling you, get rid of one thing. Look at your life. Where are you spending your time and energy? Get rid of one thing and see how much that opens up time for me to play another music song, to think about a verse, to pray for somebody, have a conversation with somebody. Just get rid of one thing. That's your assignment. That's your application this week to start. The other thing that I want you to think about is when I was reading earlier this morning in service about the example that Jesus was, you know, really being, was an example of who his father was. That all came out of Dutch Sheets' book. I started it this week. It's called The Pleasure of His Company, A Journey to Ultimate Friendship with God. That's building relationship. It's 30 chapters, very short chapters, like 3 or 4 pages, very short chapters. And what I would encourage you to do is think about joining me in reading this one chapter a day through the month of July. We're going to move on. We got 1 week of meditation left. We're going to move on to another subject for July as our focus. But meditation is truly where it all starts and stops. And I'm going to just ask you to continue with me in focusing on meditation as we add in something else in July by reading this, reading one chapter, the 3 or 4 pages a day through July. If you're interested in doing that, I have my notebook up here. All you have to do is come sign and I will order it for you and get it to you so you have it July 1st. And I think it's roughly $12 is what I think it is, if I order it. So sign up and I will order it for you. Apostles' word about prophecy and expecting unexpected things. The more that we pour into him, we're going to see that profiting. That means advancement. That means, it's things like the funeral. Do you know, and I don't mean to go on, but this was so good. Advancement. You know what advancement looks like? Advancement looks like when the funeral director tells people, you know, I really want Pine Grove to do my funeral. That means that somebody who is an expert and does this all the time. They had six funerals. John Coss had six funerals yesterday. They're saying, we see something here. That's advancement. That's God showing other people what he really looks like. And he has that for you in your own individual life if we just apply ourselves wholly to what he has for us. Father, we are just so blessed that you are our Father, that you're our Heavenly Father. Lord, we want to meditate on you. We want to give ourselves wholly to all of these things, reading and exhortation and gifting and pouring into others. Lord, help us to be the people who you expect us to be, people like your son Jesus who emulated you, who walked on water, who walked through walls, who healed by just a touch and using spit, multiplied food when it was needed, who held things and created things just by his words because he was emulating you. Father, help us to meditate on these things. Be who you called us to be so that others can join the family. Could I have the worship team just do a benediction? If you want somebody to, you know, maybe you need time with the Lord just here at the altar. Maybe you just need somebody, you want somebody to pray with you. Please, please come up to Apostle. Let him know. He'll get somebody to pray with you. Use this time. Don't walk away if the Lord's nudging at you. Maybe you need just to have him speak to you quiet time a little bit this morning so he can show you and talk to you about what your meditation needs to look like, or what is it, one thing that I need to give up, Lord. Let me know, Father, so that I can get on with this journey and get on to profiting as you see it.